facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A terrific Tuesday to you. It is August the 10th. It is the feast day of St. Lawrence the Martyr. So glad to have you with me on The Cale Clark Show, 1-888-914-9149. It's a toll-free number to call. You can also email the show, as usual, K-L-C-A-L-E at relevantradio.com. And our Twitter handles are as follows. My personal is at Cale Clark, and the show account is at Cale Clark Show. And we are cracking open. Oh, man, my fingers are so slippery. I couldn't. There we go. Okay, we are cracking open, producer Lucas and I, another fresh show. The Cale Clark Show is brought to you by Pepsi Zero Sugar. No, it's not, but Pepsi marketing guys, if you're out there, I'm open. Give me a call. 888-914-9149. We can even work out the deal on the air right now on the show. No, I'm only kidding. But speaking of comedy, I don't know if that was necessarily funny, but we did have someone on the show yesterday who was really, really funny and really, really smart and just a cool, cool gal all around. I'm talking about Jen Fulweiler, Catholic stand-up comic, author, podcaster. Man, that was one of the best shows, producer Lucas, I think we've done in a long, long time. I had so much fun.
It was so good. I turned from producer to listener. I was just like, man, I need to go back to this myself and re-listen to it.
That's always the best. And Jen was kind enough to tweet this yesterday. She said on Twitter, "Sometimes an interview goes so well, you feel like you could talk for hours. This was one of those chats." Aw, Jen. Man, that is really sweet. That is really, really nice. So if you want to react to yesterday's show, if you had a chance to listen to it, you can call in 1-888-914-9149. If you didn't, please check the podcast. Go to relevantradio.com or through the app, wherever you get your podcasts, through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, we're everywhere. You can check it out. It was a really, really good show. And man, a lot of pressure. How do we follow that up? Well, today is the feast of St. Lawrence, deacon and martyr. And he's also, as we mentioned in the show yesterday, we should have had Jen on today because Deacon Lawrence was, of course, the patron saint of comedians. We'll tell you why a little bit later in the show. But we do have to talk about a serious matter because this is all over the Catholic news today. It's all over the media. It's all over social media. Simone Biles, decorated U.S. gymnast, and she's been all over the headlines recently for getting the twisties and having to pull out of competition and people kind of dunking on her for that. She's been through so much. She's been through a lot in other ways, too, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But Simone Biles is Catholic, but she caused quite the stir online by something that she said on her Instagram story. And our good pal Christine Roussel, friend of the show on CNA, wrote about this. And Biles, who's 24 years old, she asked her Instagram followers to submit their quote-unquote unpopular opinions. And then she would then comment on these things. And one of her fans said, okay, here's an unpopular opinion. Abortion is wrong. And this is what Simone Biles said in response to that. She said, "I already know this is going to start the biggest argument, and I may even lose followers, but I'm very much pro-choice. Your body, your choice," said Biles. Wow. And she's right. She will lose followers over this. She might gain some from another portion of society as well. And she also said this. She followed that up on Instagram by saying, "Also, to everyone who's going to say, just put it up for adoption. It's not that easy. And coming from someone who was in the foster care system, trust me, the foster care system is broken and it is tough, especially on the kids and young adults who age out." And by that she means they're too old now to be in the system. "Adoption is expensive. I'm just saying." End of quote. All right. So a lot of people had an issue with this, not only people who are opposed to abortion, but also people who have survived the foster care system and have not had very good experiences. And not all foster parents are bad, obviously, but some of the negative blowback she got was from somebody who tweeted at her, and this has since been deleted, somebody basically said, okay, so Biles is basically saying foster kids are better off dead. And that person has since deleted their message. Now, and she responded against that. She said, I am not favoring aborting babies as an alternative to the foster care system. I think the system needs to be fixed. But she did double down on her support for abortion, saying, quote, what I did imply is that you should not control someone else's body or decision. Let's be real. What you care about is control. End of quote. And she went on to say that she has forever and will continue to support foster kids. She's been an advocate for them for a long, long time. And but that doesn't affect the fact that she has really gone against Catholic teaching, obviously, on the abortion issue. And Lila Rose, who is the founder of Live Action, very popular pro-life leader, on Twitter, she called Biles' views on abortion, quote, incredibly sad and awful, end of quote. And she also went on to say this, to have overcome a broken system as triumphantly as she has, yet to wish death on other kids because they may face foster care is beyond fathoming, said Rose. Now, again, I think Lila Rose kind of got Biles wrong on this. She wasn't saying that it's better to abort kids and send them into the foster care system. That's not what she's saying at all. She does think the foster care system needs to be reformed. But she's saying, I am just in favor of abortion, just straight up as an issue. And I remember in Producer Lucas, we did have Dominique Dawes, who is also a very decorated U.S. gymnast, who is a practicing Catholic. She was on the show at the beginning of the Tokyo Olympics just a couple weeks ago. And I remember I asked Dominique about Simone Biles' Catholic faith. And she didn't really have any insight into that, but she did have this to say. So check out this clip. And Dominique, I also have to ask you about Simone Biles. We all know that she's one of the all-time greats, maybe the goat of goats in your sport. What is she like as a person? And she, like you, is Catholic as well. Do you have any insight into her spiritual side?
I don't have insight into her spiritual side personally from hearing from her, but if you listen to her and you watch her, I love everything about that young girl. She is 24 years old, and she is recognizing that it's more than gymnastics. And in one of her most recent interviews, I think it was at the Olympic trials or at championships, she spoke out and she talked about how she is the only survivor of Larry Nassar, who sexually abused hundreds of young gymnasts that are now survivors. And I knew him. He was my Olympic team doctor. And I knew him for 10 years of my childhood. And it was someone that we all saw as a friend. But he was clearly a wolf in sheep's clothing. And she spoke out in this interview to Hoda Kotb. And she had said that she recognizes she's the only survivor competing on the floor right now. And it's more than about gymnastics. And she is demanding change.
So that was Dominique Dawes speaking about Simone Biles and all the things that she's been through. So obviously, Simone got dunked on a lot for pulling out of Olympic events because of mental health issues and suffering what she called the twisties, which is a real condition that happens to gymnasts, a loss of muscle memory that kept her out of four events. But I do think we need to be careful about our reaction to this, in that we need to pray for this person. She's not just, sometimes we treat famous people, celebrities, as if they're not real humans. But we have to remember that Christ died for her as well. He spilled his blood into the sand for Simone Biles as much as anyone else. And Producer Lucas, I know you have some strong thoughts on this too.
Yeah, I was really sad to hear this, first of all, but the more I thought about it, and then just listening to that clip from Dominique talk about Simone, the first thing that we have to do as Catholics, I think, before we just start sharing our opinions, is really try and understand where somebody's coming from. So first thing, Simone Biles is wrong when it comes to being pro-choice, right? That is not Catholic teaching, but
yeah, full stop.
We need to not be so quick to condemn her or to crucify her because she said this. We need to really give her some grace, I think, because she's coming from a place of tremendous hurt. I mean, you just heard in that clip there from Dominique, she's a survivor of an abuse situation, and she's gone through the foster care system. She's had some like really tough life experiences. I can't imagine what she's dealt with in her life. So I can understand how she could maybe come to that conclusion that I need to be the one that has the right to decide what to do, because for too long I've been taken control of by other people. Mm. Now, again, I'm not saying that her position is now justifiable or that we should look past it, because it is a wrong view. We should be pro-life. But let's give her some grace and listen to her and try and figure out the best way to reach out and help share the truth without just being so quick to be like, oh, I can't believe you did this, or I can't follow you anymore, I can't support you anymore. And it's like, no, let's walk with her. Let's walk with her. Let's try and share the truth with love. And, you know, it's not easy, but yeah, those were just some initial thoughts that I had. So.
And her position on this may not, though, I will say this, producer Lucas, that her position on this may not be related to the experiences that she's had in the past. It may, there may not be any interplay there.
That's true.
But, and clearly it is a wrongheaded position. But I also think, you know, I don't know what her Catholic formation was like growing up, how deep it was, whether she got enough formation in the faith to be able to discern this properly. Because, I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I didn't go to Catholic schools. I went to public schools growing up. But I sort of imbibed the pro-choice view as a kid, you know, from my teachers, from the media, from other students. And I've told this story on the program before that what brought me around to the pro-life view was the one time I went to youth group. I was about 13 years old. I never went to youth group at my local parish. For some reason, I went this one night, and they happened to be showing The Silent Scream by former abortion doctor Bernard Nathanson, who has since passed away. And it's a very graphic film that shows what actually happens in an abortion procedure. And that's what turned me around. Hmm. But until that time, I was sort of going with the zeitgeist of the culture in that sense. So we definitely need to pray for Simone as a person, and pray that she, that a Catholic friend, someone that she knows, can come alongside her and maybe talk to her about this a little bit. But I think to me also, this is another cautionary tale about the dangers of putting too much stock in celebrity believers and celebrity conversions. I mean, lots of people are Catholic. Some of them are famous, some of them are not so famous. And the Catholic faith is true because it is true, not because someone famous believes it. And sometimes it is tempting to say, hey, well, if Simone Biles is Catholic, maybe you should try it too. These celebrity belief systems do sometimes influence others, but there's also a huge danger in this too. And J.D. Flynn, writing over at The Pillar, and he's a friend of Relevant Radio as well, he wrote today about the latest Britney Gate, referring to Britney Spears. And I don't know if you heard about this, producer Lucas, but Britney Spears posted something on Instagram. Now, that post has been deleted. It's since been deleted. And here's what Britney Spears said, quote, "As for the next video, I just got back from Mass. I'm Catholic now. Let us pray," end of quote. And then there's kind of an emoji of praying hands. And so social media just went wild with this story. And by the way, you're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. And so all these reports started to come out saying, well, Britney Spears has converted to Catholicism. But was it true? People were speculating. Was this due to all of her legal and personal battles? Obviously, there's been she's been in the media a lot, the whole Free Britney movement. Her finances, her life in many ways, are tightly controlled by her father. This conservatorship, all these legal issues. You probably heard about this. If you've been online at all over the last couple of years, you've heard about this. So even though there was really no information based on this post that Spears made, this got a lot of clicks. And so, as JD puts it, Britney's a Catholic gate was everywhere. Now, in all likelihood, as Flynn speculates, this is probably some sort of a reference to Britney Spears' sister, who is a practicing Catholic. And it may actually have nothing to do with, she may have just been kidding around and had no intention of converting to Catholicism. So it got a lot of traction. It did get a lot of traction in the media, really for three reasons, as Flynn points out. Number one, this is kind of altruistic. A lot of Catholics were actually happy that, hey, maybe Britney Spears wants to become Catholic. And she's certainly carried her share of crosses, and she might have actually found consolation in the true cross and the resurrection of Christ. And so people were actually happy to hear this. And that's a good motive. That's a good motive. Like we talked about with Biles, you know, we need to be concerned that this person does have an eternal soul, whether they're famous or rich, doesn't matter. It doesn't really mean too much in the light of eternity. Number two, there are other reasons why this story took off, and it has to do with clicks. It has to do with clicks, has to do with advertising money that's made on the internet. For a lot of media outlets, clicks are revenue. And it doesn't really matter whether something's factual or not. They just want people to click on a story. The third reason why this really took off was because, again, and this is the troubling tendency, and J.D. Flynn puts it this way, there is a movement among a lot of Catholics to try to look for signs of secular approval. So if somebody from the secular world approves of the Catholic faith, that means that we're normal. That means that this is legit. And so, hey, if somebody who's famous, who has a large following, like Britney Spears does, becomes Catholic, that can only be good for us. And here's a quote from J.D. Flynn, and excuse me for quoting him extensively here. I just think he says it so well. J.D. Flynn, writing in The Pillar, he says, "It's been a defining hallmark of the American Catholic experience to perceive ourselves as on the outside of the cultural mainstream. The American Catholic mindset is shaped by the experience of immigrants who came to this country, and this country had a lot of anti-Catholic laws and cultural values. And we don't often recognize this. There's a tension among and within Catholics between embracing the idea of being outsiders and also hoping for a kind of wholesale cultural acceptance," end of quote. So on one side, we do kind of revel in this, you know, we're outsiders, we need to band together, but a lot of us also want Catholicism to be accepted without question. Is that even reasonable to expect? Not necessarily, especially when there's so many hot-button cultural issues like abortion that we simply can't compromise on. Anyway, so Flynn goes on, he says, the prospect of a pop icon becoming a Catholic suggests that the faith is not so far outside the mainstream, and therefore that we're not so far outside the mainstream. The prospect that someone like Britney Spears might practice Catholicism holds the promise that those of us who do practice the faith might seem or even become less at odds with the prevailing culture we experience daily. It's not necessary for us to commodify Britney's possible religious experience to validate our place in the American cultural landscape. We don't need to look for a celebrity endorsement of our own religious experience. And that's a great line. We don't need to look for a celebrity endorsement of our own religious experience. And he says it's also not fair to Spears, whose entire life at this point seems to have been commodified for the benefit of other people basking in her reflected stardom. Christians who have something more powerful to lean on can do Britney Spears the favor of seeing her first as a child of God, made like all of us for the transcendence of divine love. If she is on a journey of faith, we can and should give her the space to experience in freedom that, without making it the subject of clickbait media fascination or expecting of her some representation of our faith to the wider world, end of quote. I think Flynn put it really, really well. And so whether it comes to Biles and her erroneous views on abortion, or Spears, whatever her interest in Catholicism might be, we do owe her, we owe both of them, the ability to explore these things without necessarily passing eternal judgment on these individual souls. In the case of Biles, yes, she is wrong in this issue, but there's still time. There's still time. And yes, she's put herself at odds with the church by embracing this view. But again, it's not over yet. We need to pray for her, pray that somebody comes into her life who can talk to her about this and hopefully change her mind. And hopefully Britney Spears will decide to become Catholic. Why not? Her soul is worth more than the entire world, just like all of our souls are individually. Want to hear your take on this. 1-888-914-9149. It's the Cale Clark Show. We'll be right back after this really quick break. We'll be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Helping you keep your mind off traffic and on the more important things in life. It's Cale Clark on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back. It is the feast day of St. Lawrence, deacon and martyr. And he's the patron saint of a lot of people, including the patron saint of comedians, because he was killed, he was martyred, he was roasted alive on a gridiron, and he's reported to have said, "I'm done on this side, you can turn me over now." A little gallows humor there now. And what I'm going to do right now is something we did last year on this feast day, and I might live to regret this, but I'm going to ask you to call in with your best Catholic joke. Your best Catholic joke. 1-888-914-9149 is the toll-free line on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. And callers, you can call in, and we have Patrick Alog standing by to take your calls. But just a couple ground rules. Keep it clean, keep it family friendly, and this is a family program, so I think you can probably figure it out. So St. Lawrence, he's not only the patron saint of comedians, but he's also the patron saint of deacons, Natch, because he was a deacon. He is also the patron saint of chefs, which I think is kind of funny too, because he was literally barbecued alive, and a lot of Catholic cookouts take place on this feast day, which I think is kind of weird and also wonderful. It's part of our strange Catholic tradition. He is also the patron saint of firefighters. Yeah, makes sense. So let me tell you a little bit about his life. He was born in Spain in the first half of the 3rd century, and immediately after he was elected as Pope, Pope Sixtus II entrusted Lawrence the deacon with the care of the archdiocese, and he had a lot of responsibilities, including he was in control of all charitable activities in the Diocese of Rome. So he would administer goods like food, any kind of resources to the needs of orphans, widows, and just generally the poor. And in the year 258 AD, a fierce persecution was unleashed, as was often the case in those times, and the Roman Emperor Valerian issued this edict that all bishops, priests, and deacons must die. Now, St. Lawrence, other deacons, and the Pope himself, Pope Sixtus II, they were all captured. The Pope was killed. He was martyred on the 6th of August. And, of course, 4 days later, on this day, Lawrence was too. Now, at first, Emperor Valerian offered Lawrence the chance to live. He said, "Look, I'll let you live if you hand over the treasures of the church, because you're in control of all this stuff. You're in control of the finances and how they're distributed to the poor, to the sick. So if you hand over the treasures of the church, I'll let you survive." And allegedly what Lawrence did was he said, "Okay, I'll go get them." Then he came back and he brought to the emperor the sick, the needy, all those who are kind of on the fringes of society. He said, "Here you go. Here are all the treasures of the church." Well, I don't think the emperor found that very funny, but maybe this is why, again, he's the patron saint of comedians, and of course, he was martyred. Now, St. Ambrose, later on in church history, St. Ambrose, who was a doctor of the church, he was the great mentor of St. Augustine. St. Ambrose talked about the fact that St. Lawrence was burned on a gridiron. And he actually had this really interesting imaginary conversation. That St. Ambrose came up with this imaginary conversation between St. Lawrence and Pope Sixtus II, this imaginary meeting that they had on their way to being martyred. And Lawrence, in this conversation, says to the Pope, "Where are you going, Father?" And of course, the word Pope means Papa, means Father. "Where are you going, Father, without your son?" Without me, in other words. "Where are you going, O holy bishop, without your deacon? You've never had the habit of offering sacrifice without your minister present." "Well, did you feel sorry for me, Father? Did you find me unworthy? Try me and see if you have chosen an unworthy minister for the distribution of the Lord's blood. Will you refuse to admit me to the divine mysteries of being your companion in shedding your blood?" So this is an imaginary conversation between St. Lawrence the deacon and martyr. and Pope Sixtus II, who was also martyred. It's a beautiful, whether it actually happened or not, that conversation, it's very beautiful. St. Leo the Great, in a homily that he wrote, said this about the death of St. Lawrence. He said, "The flames could not overcome the charity of Christ, and the fire burning him, the fire burning St. Lawrence, was weaker than the one he had burning within him." And St. Leo the Great also said, "The Lord has desired to exalt his glorious name in the world so much that from the east to the west, in the lively flaring of the light radiated by the greatest deacons, the same glory that came to Jerusalem from Stephen has also touched Rome, thanks to Lawrence." And of course, the Pope, St. Leo the Great, was referring to, of course, one of the first Catholic deacons, St. Stephen, who was one of the first seven deacons ordained. And of course, his martyrdom is chronicled in the Acts of the Apostles. And guess who was holding the jackets? Guess who was an accomplice to murder in St. Stephen's martyrdom? It was St. Paul. Back when he was Rabbi Saul, he was acquiescing to this murder. He was part of it all. And when he saw Stephen die, you know, maybe that's when God's grace really started to work on his life. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 1-888-914-9149. On this feast day of St. Lawrence, I want you to call in and give me your best clean Catholic joke. Family friendly fare only. 888-914-9149. I want to tell you just real quick, as your calls are coming in, I want to tell you about where St. Lawrence was buried. And I read an interesting piece, and some of the quotes I gave you earlier from this piece, from written by Vic Alquaz, and I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, Vic, writing on Medium, on that site for bloggers called Medium. He talked about the fact that the body of St. Lawrence was actually laid in a tomb on the Via Tiburina, the Via Tiburtina in Rome. And apparently, in this place, Emperor Constantine, after he converted to Catholicism, he built a basilica over it, over the tomb of St. Lawrence. And that basilica was actually damaged heavily in World War II when the U.S. bombed Rome on July the 19th, 1943. And later on, that basilica was restored later in the 20th century after all that damage. Now, where St. Lawrence was actually killed, the place where he was martyred, in that place, over top of that, was built the Church of San Lorenzo. And it's called the Church of San Lorenzo in Panisperna. Panisperna. And that word Panisperna is actually a combination of two words, panis, which means bread, and perna, which means ham. Because there's a custom of Franciscan friars and also poor clares, kind of the, you know, the female religious order that's part of the Franciscan charism. There's, of course, St. Francis and his friend St. Clare. So the Franciscan friars and the poor clares have a tradition of distributing bread and ham, panis et perna, to the poor on this day, on August the 10th, on the feast day of St. Lawrence. And that's why the church is called the Church of San Lorenzo, or St. Lawrence in Panisperna. So, fun facts for you there. All right, we're going to go to the jokes now. So I get the laugh track ready, Lucas. We're going to go to Mark in Chicago. Hey, Mark, welcome to the show. And what is your best Catholic joke?
Hey, Caleb, I just wanted to say, you know, Catholics, we should take our faith very seriously. But you know what? We should take ourselves lightheartedly. Mm-hmm. We should have a sense of humor. We need to be able to laugh and laugh at ourselves.
Oh, absolutely.
But here we go. Man's, he has no way of transportation, and he needs a car. So he runs into this Dominican priest, and he says, "Father, Father, can you say an Our Father for me? I need a new Lexus." And the Dominican looks at him and goes, "What's a Lexus?" So then he's like, "Oh." So then he runs into a Franciscan, and he sees this Franciscan. He says, "Father, Father, can you say an Our Father for me? I need a new Lexus." He says, looks at him and goes, "What's a Lexus?" So then he runs into a Jesuit, the smartest priest of all. And he says, "Father, can you say a novena for me? I need a new Lexus." And the Jesuit looks at him and goes, "What's a novena?"
Oh, ouch, ouch, Mark. If there are any Jesuits out there, I do apologize on behalf of Mark. But I think you're probably laughing too. we get the humor, Mark. And you could really say that about any religious community. And that is so funny. Mark, thank you for that call. That was Mark from Chicago kicking us off here. We're asking for your best Catholic joke. We did this last year on the Feast of St. Lawrence, Deacon and Martyr, and Patron Saint of Comedians. So, hey, Jen Fulweiler, if you're listening, call. I know you were a guest yesterday for the whole program, but call back. You probably got some good jokes, too. We're going to go now to Frank in San Francisco. Hey, Frank.
Clark, I like your show. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Great. Well, there was these two hippies walking down the sidewalk, and you see these two nuns coming towards them. So they come and they talk to one another. And one of the nuns had a cast on her arm. And one of the hippies said, "Sister, what happened to your arm?" She said, "I fell taking a bath." So when they finished talking, hippies walked on. One hippie said to the other hippie, "What's a bath?" He says, "Don't ask me. I'm not Catholic."
All right. Frank, thank you for calling. That was Frank from San Francisco. And thank you for your kind words about the program. 888-914-9149. Producer Lucas, last year when we did this, we actually ran out of phone lines. There's so many people calling in with Catholic jokes. People just love this. So let's get back to the phone lines here. Carolyn is calling from Fort Myers, Florida. Hi, Carolyn.
Hello. I've got a pun for you.
Oh, I love puns. Let's hear it.
All right. What do you call a sleepwalking pope?
What do you call a sleepwalking pope? I don't know.
A Roman Catholic.
A Roman Catholic. I like it. I like it. I love puns. Thanks, Carolyn. That's Carolyn calling from Fort Myers, Florida. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. A Roman Catholic. All right. Bridget is in New Jersey. Hey, Bridget.
Hi, how are you? I have a funny joke for you.
Okay, well, we'll be the judge of that, but no, I'm only kidding. I'm sure it is. Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Okay, so the Pope is on a trip, and he takes his driver with him. Obviously, he has his entourage, and the driver, and he noticed that there's a couple hours of time to kill, and he's like, well, the Pope says, hey, why don't I practice driving? And his driver says, I don't know. The Pope says, what's the worst that can happen? And the driver's like, okay, fine. He lets him drive. And the Pope is driving like a maniac. He's hitting curbs. He's running stop signs. He's driving like crazy, and he gets pulled over. And the police officer walks up to the car, and he says, I'll be right back. And he goes back to his car, and he calls over to the sergeant. He says, I pulled over somebody really important. I don't know what to do. And he's like, just give him a ticket and move on. He goes, who is it? How important is he? Is it the mayor? And he goes, no, it's somebody more important than that. And he goes, well, who, like the president or somebody? Who is it? He goes, I don't know who it is, but the Pope's his driver.
Oh, come on. You can't use the Chewbacca sound effect, Lucas.
No, that Chewbacca, was good. It was so funny. Chewbacca's even laughing.
Okay,
at
Chewbacca.
It,
okay, so. I didn't know whether Chewbacca was groaning or laughing, but you got the Chewbacca sound effect, Bridget. I love that joke. That's a great joke.
Oh, good. Thanks. Yeah.
Hey, thanks for calling in, and thank you for listening to the program. That was Bridget calling from New Jersey. All right, we're going to go to Jose in Fremont, California. Hello, Jose.
Hey, Cale, how are you?
I'm doing great, man.
Hey, awesome, dude. So I'm going to steal one from Dr. Scott Hahn.
Okay, this should be good.
Yeah, who is the patron saint of Black Friday?
Who is the patron saint of Black Friday? I don't know, who?
It's St. Francis de Sales.
Oh, yeah, St. Francis de Sales. St. Francis of Sales. Get it? The patron saint of Black Friday. That is really good. If that came from Dr. Scott Hahn, I'm not surprised because...
I believe so. I remember it right. It's from Dr. Scott Hahn. Yeah. So, yeah, he's a funny guy. I love the guy.
Yeah, he's really good. And a lot of his books, especially his earlier books, every subtitle, every subsection in his books, every title was a pun. And they're usually hilarious. My favorite one ever was when he was talking about Abraham and Isaac carrying the wood, for his own sacrifice on his back up the mountain, and it's on Mount Moriah. So the pun for that title was Moriah Carey, the yeah. singer Moriah Carey. Anyways, I can't top that. That was just so good.
He's an awesome guy. Hey, Cale, thanks. All right, you take care.
You got it. Appreciate you, Jose. Thanks for that joke. That was great. All right, we're going to go to John, who's calling in Lisle, Illinois. Hey, John.
Hey, Kale. Real quick, what do you call a woman who throws her bills into the fire?
What do you call a woman who throws her bills into the fire? I don't know.
Bernadette.
Bernadette. Bernadette, that's good. I've never heard that one before. I like it. I like it. Saint Bernadette. John, fantastic. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate that. You got it. That was John in Lisle, Illinois. All right. Well, lots of comedians, of course, on the Vegas Strip. We're going to go to Las Vegas right now, and we'll see if she's a good comedian. Anita is calling from Vegas. Hey, Anita, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks, Cal. I love your show.
Oh, thank you.
And
thank
this is a family. This is family humor. So, little
good,
boy
good.
Goes into his mom. He says, "Mom, Mom, I found out the name of God's name." She said, "You did? Where did you hear it?" He said, "At church." He said, "Well, what's God's name?" He said, "Andy." She said, "You heard that at church?" He said, "Yeah, Mom. We were singing a song. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own."
I like it. I like it. Somebody gave me a similar joke one day. He said, "God's name is Howard. What are you talking about?" Well, Howard be thy name. I don't know if you've heard that one before, but but hey, there you go. There you go. That's a good one. Anita calling from Las Vegas. I like that joke. Thank you very much for the call, and thanks for listening to the program. Appreciate you. All right, so we got some really good Catholic jokes there, and if there are more out there, if you want to call in, 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, and we'll be back right after this quick break. Stay tuned.
This is the Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
There's still time to get your best Catholic joke in here. 1-888-914-9149 is the toll-free number to call. 888-914-9149. It is the feast day of St. Lawrence, deacon and martyr, the patron saint of comedians, who said as he was dying, as he was being roasted alive on a gridiron, "I'm done on this side, you can turn me over now." And he's also the patron saint of firefighters and chefs. So that's kind of funny too. And the Cale Clark Show is always about faith, facts, and fun. We're certainly heavy on the fun right now, that's for sure. I'm not sure if this next story falls into the facts category or the fun category. Maybe a little bit of both. You'll have to be the judge. But the New York Times has done us all an incredible public service because they actually brought in a medical doctor, somebody who knows what he's talking about, to answer this question from readers, and I think it's an important question. I've always wondered this. Is nose hair essential to fighting off colds and other viral illnesses such as COVID-19? And I have to tell you that one of my most treasured Christmas gifts was back in 2017. That was a great year. My wife put a gold-plated nose hair trimmer in my stocking. Thanks, honey. I jest, but I actually would want that, especially if it's solar powered. You know, I keep changing the batteries all the time, I'm using it all the time. Is nose hair essential to fighting off colds, COVID, anything else? And this was actually a question asked by a woman. And that's interesting. A woman with a lot of, but apparently this woman used to get her eyebrows waxed on the regular. And she says that the person who was performing the eyebrow waxing procedure would always recommend, "Hey, you really should also wax your nose hair." Really? And so she asked this question to the New York Times, and Dr. Richard Clasco, MD, did respond about this. And here's what he said. He said that a medical truism, and this is just something that everybody in the medical profession thinks, a medical truism holds that nose hair filters out the air we breathe and therefore protects us from infection by airborne viruses, bacteria, and other pathogens. But, as is often the case with truisms, its history may be more venerable than verified. In other words, it might be an urban legend. All right, well, let me tell you a little bit about the history of nose hairs. The idea that our nose hairs, and by the way, there's a medical term for them. They're called, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but vibrissae. Vibrissae, V-I-B-R-I-S-S-A-E, vibrissae. All right. So our nose hairs, or vibrissae, may offer protection against infectious germs. This idea goes back more than a century. In the year 1896, there was a pair of English doctors who wrote this in the prestigious medical journal called The Lancet. I don't know if you've heard of it, but I've never heard of The Lancet, but I've been poked by Lancet. It's not fun. And here's what these two English doctors said in 1896 about nose hairs. And I quote, "The interior of the great majority of normal nasal cavities is perfectly aseptic," which means sterile. It's perfectly sterile. "On the other hand, the vestibules of the nares," that is the nostrils, "the vibrissae," or the nose hairs, "lining the nostrils, and all crusts formed there," and that's just a nice way of saying snot, I guess, "all crusts formed there are generally swarming with bacteria. These two facts seem to demonstrate that the vibrissae act as a filter, and a large number of microbes meet their fate in the moist meshes of the hair which fringes the vestibule." Okay, end of quote. So in other words, your nasal cavities, back in your head, perfectly sterile, they're fine, but your nose, your nasal cavities, where your nose hairs are, that's a different story altogether, swarming with bacteria, according to these English doctors in the year 1896. Now, that all might sound logical, that the nose hairs filter out the bacteria, that's where they meet their fate, but nobody actually studied whether or not trimming your nose hairs might make it easier for germs to penetrate deeper into your respiratory tract. Believe it or not, I find this hard to believe, but no study on this was done until the year 2011. That's the first time that the density of nose hair was studied as a possible, does this correlate to disease? And there's a study of 233 patients that was published in the International Archives of Allergy and Immunology. It was actually a team of researchers from Turkey, of all places. In Turkey, this was a really important issue. They found that people who have denser nose hair were less likely to have asthma. And they attributed this finding to the filtration function of nose hair. Well, this was an interesting observation, but it was an observational study, and it couldn't prove, really couldn't prove anything, because asthma is actually not an infection. So it doesn't give us any more data on whether having more nose hairs keeps you from getting sick. And there's also no follow-up studies done. So it took until the year 2015 for something to happen here. It took until 2015 for Americans to get their act together and study this. And this is just an atrocity that this took so long.
Inconceivable.
The Mayo Clinic, the famous Mayo Clinic in 2015, did a study, and it's the first and so far the only study to look at the effects of trimming your nose hairs. So that lady in the waxing clinic who's telling people to, hey, while you're getting your eyebrows here, you might as well get your nose hairs waxed as well. You need to listen up. So the researchers measured nasal airflow in 30 patients before cutting their nose hair and after cutting their nose hair. And what did they find? Well, they did find that trimming the nose hair did lead to improvements in airflow. All right. And as you might expect, the improvements were greatest in those who had more nose hair to begin with. And these results were published in a medical journal, the American Journal of Rhinology and Allergy. I'm sure you subscribe to that. Who doesn't? But again, we still have to ask the question, does trimming your nose hairs create better airflow? It seems to be yes, but does that keep you from getting infections, bacterial infections, viral infections, COVID? Well, the lead doctor on this Mayo Clinic study, he said this, and his name was Dr. David Stoddard. If somebody's working with drywall, for example, they're a contractor, they're, you know, forming drywall all day, he says, I can tell whether they just got off work because there's all kinds of white dust trapped in their nose hairs. Seems to make sense. But here's the thing. It's large particles that get trapped in the nose hairs. Viruses are way, way smaller. They're so small, they're probably going to pass through your nose either way, whether you have a lot of nose hair or not a lot of nose hair. I don't think trimming one's nose hair would put them at increased risk for respiratory infection. End of quote. So there you go. It seems to be that there's no evidence that cutting your nose hairs, trimming them, waxing them, whatever you want to do, it doesn't seem to have any effect on whether or not you're going to get COVID or anything else. So there you go. If you thought your exceedingly large amounts of nose hair are going to save you? Probably not. Probably not. I, as someone who trims their nose hair regularly, I thought that was important for you to know. We're going to go back to the phones now. We're going to go to Augustine. St. Augustine calling from Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, Augustine, what's your joke for us today?
Hello, Kale. So my joke is, how do you get, or how do you make water?
How do you make holy water? Okay, let's, I don't know, how?
You boil the hell out of it.
Yeah, I've heard that one before. Yep. How do you get holy water? You boil the, you take ordinary water and you boil the heck out of it. Appreciate you, Augustine. Thanks for that joke. That was Augustine in the desert in Phoenix, Arizona. All right, we're going to go to Chi-Town now. Paul is in Chicago. Hey, Paul, welcome to the program. The stage is yours.
Thanks for taking, thanks for taking my call. You got a 16-year-old, just learned, got his license to drive, and he went to his father, and he said, Dad, can I get a car to drive? And his dad said, well, if you improve your grades in school, read the Bible more, and get a haircut, you can get a car. Okay, so a month goes by, the boy goes back to the father and says, well, Dad, can I get a car now? And the dad says, well, you did improve your grades. You did read the Bible more, but you didn't get a haircut. So you can't get a car. And the boy says, well, Dad, Jesus had long hair. And the dad said, yes, Jesus did have long hair, and he walked everywhere he went.
Yeah.
I know it's old, but I like
it's an oldie but a goodie. Jesus walked everywhere. Why do you need a car? I love it. Paul, calling from Chicago. Appreciate that, Paul.
Right.
And appreciate the listen. Have a good one. Have a good one. Call back anytime. Going to go now to Northern Michigan, the wilds of Northern Michigan. Phil is calling. Hey, Phil.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great.
You know, a segue to your nasal talk would be this, of course. You can pick your friends and you can pick your nose. You just can't pick your friend's nose.
Yes.
Anyway,
yes, that's a good
all right,
point.
So this is a true story. So I'm in the basement of the church in the kitchen preparing four large bowls of fruit salad for a gathering. And, of course, we pray the rosary all the time. And we are told by St. Paul, keep praying, pray successively. So I'm praying and praying. And I'm cutting up, of course, what? The grapes. And I'm cutting the grapes, putting them in the bowls, and I'm praying. Hail Mary, full of grapes, the Lord is with thee. And of course, what happens, you know, I'm like, what am I saying? So anyway, it was just one of those strange little things that happened.
I'm sure everybody else thought that was pretty funny too. Yeah, it's when what you're doing becomes prayer, you know, that's kind of the goal, right? You know, your work becomes prayer.
We
get a little confused sometimes. Full of grapes.
Yeah.
I love it.
Is a fun show, Kale. Keep it up. Thanks a lot.
Oh, thanks, Phil. Appreciate you. That's Phil calling from Northern Michigan. That's great. We got people calling in from all over the country. We're going to go now to Zaretta, who's calling from Illinois. What a beautiful name, Zaretta.
Thank you. Actually, Zoraida.
Oh, Zoraida.
Zoraida from Chicago.
Oh, from Chicago. Okay,
but there are a lot of Chicago ones, right?
Even more beautiful.
Yeah, so. Thank you. But anywho, the joke is this. So there was one morning, there's a conversation going on within between a husband and a wife. The conversation started because the wife doesn't want to make coffee. And he said, like, you know, honey, did you know that it's in the Bible that men should be the one to make coffee? And the husband was like, oh, really? So where in the Bible? So the wife answered, see, go here on the part that says Hebrews.
Hebrews. That's actually one of my all-time favorite Catholic jokes. I appreciate that a lot. I appreciate that so very much. Thanks for the call. I love it.
You're welcome. Have a wonderful day, and thank you for answering my call.
You got it. Anytime. Call back anytime. What a great joke. I love that. Hebrews. Yeah. It's guy's responsibility to make coffee in the morning. Well, we've had a lot of fun with these Catholic jokes. And next week, we're going to have even more. Next week is Pledge Drive Week, and I'm so excited about that. And that means that I'm not sure exactly which day of the week this is going to happen. You're just going to have to tune in. But my daughter, Michaela, which has become a Pledge Drive tradition on Relevant Radio, she is going to be in telling some kid jokes. And she's always telling people, hey, I work for Relevant Radio. What are you talking about? You're 5 years old. What do you mean? You work for Relevant Radio. What do you do? She says, I tell jokes for money because I tell jokes during pledge drive. So you have that to look forward to. And she's been working on her set. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Jen Fulweiler might have some competition there. It's been a great show. Lucas Holt produced. Patrick Alog screened your calls. He had to listen to all those jokes and make sure that they were legit, make sure that they were clean, make sure that they're family friendly. And we've run out of time. I wish we had more time, but thank you to everybody who's still on the line. We'll do some more next week. If you want to call back next week, we'll do it again. We have our kid joke day. Cale Clark Show, we'll be back tomorrow. Check the podcast if you missed any. But lots of fun. Share them with a friend. Timmy's up next. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.